I would like to ask you to pray for our Saturday morning deacons meeting. This is our annual Saturday morning get together where we ask all our deacons to come. And it's a very important time because this is when we elect officers each year for the coming year. So we appreciate your prayers. That's a very important thing. We just pray that the Lord will lead us to the men that need to be leading us in that ministry. So I'll ask you to pray for that come Saturday morning. All right. Well, we were supposed to be in the middle of a storm Sunday afternoon and evening, and it didn't quite turn out that way. And the message that I was going to share with you that night is one that was on my heart, and it's kind of time sensitive. So I wanted to share it with you tonight. It's simply entitled Pray. And I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. The Scripture says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to pray. And I ask You tonight as we think about this important part of our Christian life, that You might challenge us and encourage us in our own prayer lives. And so, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit might truly be our teacher and our guide and reveal to us the truths that we will look at tonight in this portion of Your Word. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. This past Thursday, I sent out an email to our deacons asking them to join me in 40 days of prayer for our church. And I want to ask you to join us in that same endeavor starting tonight. Only a little time has passed, about a week now, but it's not too late to get involved in praying for the ministry of this body of believers. It appears to me that in many aspects, Satan has been in the process of harassing this church body for many years now. And I think that it's time the church took a stand on its knees. It's amazing how the church stands tallest when it's on its knees, and it gets a lot accomplished there. But prayer is one of those things that people believe in, but not to the degree God wants us to and that we need to. I think a man by the name of Ben Patterson put the majority of our prayer lives into perspective when he said, "I'm not into prayer. I seem to have missed the religious gene or whatever it is that makes people enjoy the act of praying. It's not my nature to pray. I'm not into prayer. I'm into God. I thirst and hunger for God. I ache for God. Without His everlasting arms holding me up, I will fall, so I must pray." So we have to get into God. That's the important thing. Because the church faces a serious problem today, because Jesus said that the Father hears and answers the prayers of desperate sinners and passionate saints. But He seemingly ignores the fancy prayers of the prideful and the religiously correct. Now you might ask, have things become desperate here at the church that you're calling on the deacons to pray and now you're asking us to pray? Is there something going on that we don't know about? No. If that's your response, that is reactionary praying. When you think something is wrong, we must pray immediately to correct the situation. God, we've messed it up. Would You please fix it for us? I want to tell you that things have always required desperate measures in the spiritual world from day one. The day and age in which we're now living presents us with desperate and troubling times. And the church is at the root of the solution to that problem. I think that it's either we get serious about prayer as the church, or we prepare to perish. I think it's coming to the point where the church has to make a decision to either stand and fight or to flee. There's not many other options. Now, God has told us how to deal with all this, and strangely enough, He puts seemingly more emphasis on praying than He does on doing. It appears to me that the key to success in the local church is not more meetings, it's not more programs, it's not more Bible studies, it's more praying. And serious praying. Believing praying. Expectant praying. That's what we need. We try to solve all of our problems by implementing another program. We don't need more programs, we need more prayer. Need a more intimate relationship with God. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all that about me seemed insufficient for the day." Well, I will tell you quite honestly tonight that that is exactly how I feel. I can relate to what Abraham Lincoln said as a pastoral leader. I have nowhere else to turn but to God. My wisdom is not enough, and neither is yours. And so there's a great sense of insufficiency that surfaces that must somehow be addressed. Now, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let me give you some things concerning prayer out of this text. First of all, be confident when you approach God. Be confident. Verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Do you think that most people pray with great confidence that their prayers are going to be answered? Or do we earnestly pray over something and then finish our prayer only to allow doubt and despair to creep in and cause doubt to reign supreme as to whether or not God is really able to answer that prayer or not? Listen, the key to prayer is not how long it takes for that prayer to be answered, but the faith by which we pray that prayer. That's the key. The faith with which we pray the prayer. The confidence to approach God, where does it come from? It comes from your salvation experience with God. The confidence to approach God in prayer comes from the understanding that we have eternal life and that nothing can take that away from us. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. I think that one of the keys to successful praying is the understanding that God is accessible. That God's doors are always open. His ears are always open to us. That through His death on the cross, He opened the windows of heaven. He opened the gates of heaven. He gave us access into the very throne room of God, the Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, prayer is all about approaching God's throne of grace. That's what it's about. His throne of unmerited favor, approaching there with confidence that we might receive mercy and that we might receive grace. When? To help us in our time of need. Do it boldly, we're told to do. Do it with great confidence that God will honor our faith and meet our needs. So be confident when you approach God. Here's the second thing. Ask anything that you want of God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, ask and it might be given to you. Is that what it says? No. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, either that's true or not. I mean, either you can ask and it will be given, either you can seek and it you will find, either you can knock and the door will be open, or it's all a lie. But you see, asking is the key. And asking is birthed in faith and in trust that God is true to His Word. That whatever He says in His Word to us, whatever promises He makes to us in His Word, we can take and make a spiritual deposit in our spiritual bank account. And know that it's going to happen. E.M. Bounds said, prayer is not acting a part or going through religious motions. Prayer is neither official nor formal nor ceremonial, but direct, hearty, and intense. The object of asking is to receive. The aim of seeking is to find. And the purpose of knocking is to arouse attention and get in. So prayer has a purpose attached to it. And it has a purpose attached to it, and we want to receive an answer, then we've got to ask. If we want to be blessed, if we want to receive a blessing from God, we have to ask. You have to seek, and you have to knock, and you have to ask. Most of us are not sure that God really means what we just read. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be open. And the reason we may have a tendency to doubt that is because you might say, very rarely has that been my experience. I've asked and it didn't happen. I've sought and I didn't find. I've knocked and it wasn't opened. And you think that's your experience. And maybe that is what's happened. But the next thing we look at holds the key to the door that unlocks your prayer life and allows you to go to the next level with God. And that's seeking to know if what you are praying and what you're asking for is the will of God. That if we ask anything according to His will. How important do you think the will of God really is for your life individually and for the life of the church collectively? It's very important. It is of utmost importance. The church spends the majority of its time wrestling with the will of the people instead of the will of God. And people through the ages didn't learn the lesson. And we, for the most part, have not learned the lesson. The lesson being that there is only one God's will. It's not God's will plus my thoughts. It's not my thoughts seeking God's blessings. It is God's will. Now, why do we need to seek God's will first and foremost? In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, there's an interesting little verse. It says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Have you ever said, "God, I don't know what to do"? I find myself praying that prayer almost daily. When we have a staff meeting, inevitably someone of the three of us will say, "I don't know what we ought to do, but something's got to change." We don't know what we ought to do, but our eyes are on you. It's one thing to admit that you don't know what to do, but to change your that mindset, you better be sure you add, "But my eyes are on you." King Jehoshaphat said that, uttered those words. He had a mess on his hands. He was being attacked. And he talked to God about a seemingly certain defeat and capture. But isn't it amazing that you will find out that when you talk to God and you're willing to listen, God will talk back to you? Prayer's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And the most important part of prayer is when you get done. And don't be in such a hurry to leave. Listen. The text says in 2 Chronicles 20, beginning at verse 15, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you." Now that's good stuff right there. This is what the Lord says. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, it's God's. "Tomorrow," this is what God says, "tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You," emphasis on you, "you will not have to fight this battle." But listen to what he says. "Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." That's good. Sometimes we too become discouraged and disheartened when hope looks lost, when it looks like we're surrounded and there's no way we can win the battle, and we get to the point to where we say, "I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, God." But we do know the best thing to do, and that's keep our eyes on you. Keep our ears open to what you have to say. The battle's not yours, he says. You can't win it on your own, but you do have to put on the armor and you do have to take your stand in order to see the deliverance the Lord will give. God's already said, "The battle's not yours, it's mine. Don't be discouraged. I can handle it." But you take up your positions. You go do what you're supposed to do. You be in the place where you're supposed to be, and you stand firm. And when you take your place and you stand firm, here's what's going to happen. I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you. But it all starts with brutal, pride, deflating honesty. We do not know what to do. And then he says to them, and this is what we're supposed to do, believe that when you pray that God hears you. Believe that you're heard by God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. If, and that's such a big word, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The reason true revival tarries is because we fail to pray in accordance with God's will. Because God answers prayer in accordance to His will. Now, John basically gives us the conditions of prayer in 1 John and then the Gospel of John also. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, if you'll look there. Let's begin with verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. In other words, if there's sin in our life that's unconfessed, we don't have any confidence with God. We don't have any confidence before God because we know our life's not what it ought to be. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. You see, our part in praying is to ask and to make sure that what we ask for brings honor and glory to God. And if God answers that prayer, He's the one that's going to be glorified. He's the one that's going to benefit from it. He's the one who's going to be honored by it, and people are going to turn to Him. If an answered prayer glorifies a man, it's not going to happen. It's not going to bring the honor and glory to God that it should. So we have to ask, and we have to pray according to His will because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. So obedience is a key. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 7. We have to be steadfast in our relationship with Christ. Because he said, this is his priestly prayer. It says, now, he's talking to his Father. He says, now they, that's his followers, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Everything that the church needs to be successful comes from God. Doesn't come anywhere else. There are no other resources. Comes from God. And they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Even Jesus said it. And Jesus said, I do the will of my Father who sent me. Holy Spirit said, I only speak what I hear the Father say. So everything that we need, you and I need in our lives, and we need collectively in the church, comes from God. So we have to be steadfast in our relationship with Him. In John 14, verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, there's a lot of promises there, aren't there? I mean, either God's telling the truth or this is the biggest hoax that's ever been brought up or thought up. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The church has financial problems. Where should we turn first? To somebody who has money, who could bail us out, have our own bailout plan, or to God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who's not broke, who doesn't have limited resources? We're struggling here and looking for a student minister, and we've got these restrictions, and we got monetary restrictions on us right now. We're wringing our hands, and we're wondering, what in the world are we going to do? The first thing we better do is get on our knees. Because whatever we ask for in His name, He'll do it. And then it's all about praying according to His will. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying? He says, first of all, He prayed, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, let it happen. Let it pass from me. But then He said, but not my will. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. C.H. Dodge said, prayer rightly considered is not a device for employing the resources of omnipotence to fulfill our own desires, but a means by which our desires may be redirected according to the mind of God and made into channels for the forces of His will. A. E. Brooks suggests that John thought of prayer as, quote, including only request for knowledge of and acquiescence in the will of God. Let me tell you what has to happen to our will. It has to be broken. It has to be broken. Because if our will is not broken, then God's will never manifest itself in our lives. We will never see the outpouring of the Spirit and the truthfulness of these verses. We will never see it as long as we're in the way. But I want to tell you something. The only true prayer is the one that ends with "Thy will be done." And then verse 15 says, and if we know, if we have the assurance, if we have the confidence, if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Expect an answer from God. Expect an answer. Don't pray and get up and say, well, I don't know. No, expect an answer from God. When we pray and we pray in accordance to God's will, and what we're praying about we know is the will of God, if and when God answers it, it'll bring honor and glory to Him. I want to tell you, get up off your knees giving God thanks for the answer to prayer, even though you hadn't seen it. There's nothing on the horizon, but because God said it, you believe it, and that settles it. Because it's in God's time. It's His timing. It's not ours. When a child of God claims the promise of the Word of God as he prays to the Father, that prayer is certain to be answered. For a prayer to be in accordance with the will of God, it must be in harmony with the Word of God. You remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, and Satan had tempted him with this and tempted him with that. Remember what Jesus did? Jesus quoted Scripture to him. He didn't argue with him. He didn't debate him. He didn't say, you don't know what you're talking about. He just drew from the truths of the Word of God, and he gave that back to him. Well, Satan will continue to discourage the local church until the local church learns how to stand up to him with the Word of God. And believe it. And to put it into practice. And say, if God said it, then I don't know how he's going to do it. It's not up to me, it's up to him. But I'm going to walk in victory, and I'm going to believe exactly what this book says is true. And then, like God told Jehoshaphat, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to worry about them. I don't want you to worry about how many of them there are. I don't want you to worry about how bad the situation looks. I want you to get ready for battle. I want you to go stand in your position. And I want you to take a firm stand there because I've told you to. So you're standing on my word. And I want you to watch and see what I'm about to do. I want you to watch and see what I'm about to do. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He delivered them. And I believe with all of my heart that Satan tries to harass the local church, to discourage the local church. But when the local church gets in position and stands firm, God will deliver. You believe that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and pray. Lord, help us to pray in accordance to your will. Help us to pray those things that will bring honor and glory to you when you answer those prayers. Help us not to be discouraged because it appears that we're outmanned, because you plus any, just you, you're a majority by yourself. You don't need us, but you've chosen to work through us. So no matter how difficult the task may seem, no matter how heavy the burden may appear to be, we know that we serve a God who is more than able to meet our every need. And so, Lord, I pray that that instead of first turning our attention toward a conference room or a deacon's meeting, that we would first and foremost turn our attention to you. When we get to those points in our lives where we say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. But my eyes, God, they're upon you. Because I know where my strength lies. I know where my confidence is. I know where my deliverance is and where it comes from. God, help us to be a church that's willing to ask, that's willing to pray in accordance to your will, so that you might answer our prayers and you might deliver us and bless us because of it. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Bless us as we go forward in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.